visiting with IHSA historian Scott Johnson and a 100-year centennial celebration taking place regarding the National Federation of State High School Associations. And we know without the Illinois influence, Scott Johnson, there would not be a National Federation of State High School Associations. Illinois has much to be proud of at the ground level, right?
Absolutely. The National Federation was born in Chicago. It was birthed by Illinois people and nurtured for many years before it kind of took on more of a national flavor. And the 100th celebration over in Indianapolis this past week was an awesome event, lots of pomp and circumstance, and plenty of credit went to Illinois there for the accomplishments that we have put together.
Well, and I know you authored a book that was released last summer called Association Work, and you talk about the two pioneers of high school sports in Illinois and the nation, H.B. Porter, who began his educational career in Keysburg, Illinois, and Mercer County, and then C.W. Witten, also very instrumental. I believe he began his educational career over in Stark County, so we're talking about some rural roots here as well. But I know a lot of work at the ground level for those two, and we've talked before about a lot of the issues that we deal in 2019, you know, eligibility issues, player safety. Those were things at the forefront, you know, some 100 years ago, too.
Absolutely true, and you know those problems never really go away. I mean, we solve one issue or maybe deal with one issue, but something pops up somewhere else that's, you know, a new twist. And we're a century later, and we're still, you know, working on the same basic problems.
Well, and then the motivation to bring high school sports under an association or organization umbrella, you know, somebody to oversee what's going on with interscholastic athletics. Can you just elaborate a little bit on the motivation of what really got the ball rolling, and that ball started rolling in Illinois first?
Sure. I guess the main reason was that these athletic programs were cropping up that were associated with the high schools, but the principals of those schools really didn't have much control over what was going on. And without a group of schools, or even a group of schools across the whole state, banding together to write rules, to set regulations, to set eligibility requirements, it was just going to be a free-for-all. And, the most important thing to the early leaders, especially, including C.W. Witten and H.B. Porter, was to make sure that there was some kind of educational basis for having these sports and activities within the high school program. If there wasn't an educational component, they weren't interested in having it. They thought it should be somewhere else. And so that was really the basis for the association and the federation, and, you know, it continues to the current day.
And when you look at that initial push, there was some pushback to those efforts, right? I mean, they had to overcome some serious obstacles to get this thing moving in the right direction.
It's absolutely true. I mean, and there's always pushback when you're trying to implement new programs and procedures, and certainly when you're trying to put restraints on people and programs. And so, yes, they dealt with a lot of conflict, but eventually they were able to overcome those things and kind of set a course for not just Illinois but the nation that really has continued up until now. We start the second century.
And what would you consider, if there's any that come to mind, the most significant, you know, blowback in those early efforts of starting an association, the IHSA, and then moving forward with, you know, the national association as well?
Well, I think the biggest conflict they had in the early days, and we're talking like the late 20s and early 30s, was disagreements with the colleges over how high school sports should be run. Colleges had a big influence in those days because they had facilities that most high schools did not have. And if you wanted to have a big meet, like a track meet or a tournament, Generally, they were held in college facilities. And so the college people, unfortunately, the record kind of shows, were not very willing to abide by the high school eligibility standards that had been set up by the associations. And that led to a lot of conflict. And in general, the newspapermen at the time were on the side of the colleges because they wanted to see these big events, and they really weren't interested in eligibility. So that was they got a lot of flack from writers at the time, but were eventually able to convince their colleagues that they were on the right path, and the colleges were shut out of the high school program, and it's been that way ever since.
Well, and I guess when you look back, you really have to say people like H.B. Porter and C.W. Whitten, long story short, very forward-thinking in all this. Because without their work, how long would it have taken to get something like this accomplished? You don't know. It takes somebody to get the ball moving, and those two guys were very instrumental in that.
Absolutely, and it's impossible to speculate, but if somebody else had been in charge of the organizations at the time, maybe it never would have happened, and we would be on a completely different course now from what we are today.
All right, and as we wrap up here, and I know you document a lot of this in the book you released last summer. Now, this isn't going to be a New York Times bestseller. I think you told me that last summer. But if you like interscholastic athletics and like history and see how this stuff works, I mean, this is well worth reading. It's titled Association Work, Whitten, Porter, and the Course of Interscholastics. And I know you did a lot of work in terms of the early days for these two people. Can you elaborate a little bit about that? I know I'm talking to you from Mercer County. We're proud of the fact that H.B. Porter, one of his first stops was in Keysburg, and I think C.W. Whitten, one of his first stops in Stark County. So this has some rural roots to it too, leading to their association or IHSA push. Can you elaborate or reflect a little bit on their early days and how they really got their start?
Sure. They were both farm boys. Porter grew up on a farm outside of Manitou, Illinois, which is over by Peoria, and Whitten started on a farm by Castleton, Illinois, which is a little bit north of Peoria. Neither one of them had aspirations to do this type of work because there was not this type of work when they started. In fact, neither of them went to high school because neither of them had an opportunity to go to high school. But they both ended up at Illinois State University, obviously very intelligent people who went into education because they thought that was the way to improve society. And, the book is, it sounds like it might be a little dry, but I think there's a lot of good reading in it, and it's not just about association policy. It's about their lives, their interaction with each other, the very close relationship that they had, both in the office and then during the summers when they shared some lakeside accommodations in northern Wisconsin and spent many summers together there with their families. So I think there's more to it than just how the mechanics of the associations work, but I do think if you give it a read, you'll get some interesting looks at some of the other personalities that they had to deal with, including folks like Amos Alonzo Stagg and Newt Rockne and that type of thing. So it's not just IHSA stuff. I think it'd be a good read.
Right. Again, the book is Association Work, Whitten, Porter, in the Course of Interscholastics, written by Scott Johnson, IHSA historian. Always great to visit with him. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jim.